football on off the ball.
If you took the rules today and applied them to the Leeds-Liverpool games, we'd have finished... Well, Johnny wouldn't have been on the pitch. Billy wouldn't have been on the pitch.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Yeah, so yesterday afternoon, the world of football and beyond learned of the very sad news of the passing of Kevin Keegan, just 75 years old. He revealed earlier this year that he had very advanced cancer and he passed away after a remarkable life, let alone football career. So from one legend to another, delighted to say that Mark Lawrence joined us on the line this morning. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. All good, thank you.
What are your memories, Mark?
Oh, loads. Mm. I'll tell you a story that not many people know. Kevin was playing at Scunthorpe United in the fourth division. Mm. My stepfather was on the board at Preston North End, and they went to buy him. They went to buy him for 30,000 quid, right? All those years ago. And when they got there, they'd been usurped by a certain manager from Liverpool, Mr. Shankly, who nicked him, basically. Yeah. Right. So they got him back to Anfield, and the season was about to start. And before the season, they have a little game between themselves on the pitch and everything. And Kevin would normally have been in the second team playing against the first team, but somebody got injured and they stuck him in the first team with John Toshat, and the pair of them never, ever looked back. Big one, yeah. Little one. And it was just a marriage made in heaven, shall we say.
Do you know if Toshat and Keegan got on? I always heard that they weren't that... personally that close, but they had incredible telepathic understanding on the pitch. I don't know if that's true now.
No, you know, that's another thing. The telepathic thing was, they did a thing where they were back to back and they were supposed to guess.
Saw that.
Yeah, but you know what it was?
Yeah.
You could where they sat back to back, the cameraman, they saw it in the cameraman's lap. Everyone thought, oh, they're brilliant. Yeah, this is unbelievable. Look what we've signed. No. The cameraman was like giving it all away, basically. But no, listen, they were fine. You don't have to love everybody in the football team anyway. But, I mean, it worked. Big one, little one. You know, Tosh heads it down. Keegan scores on a regular basis.
What kind of a player was Kevin Keegan in say comparison to today, like a player of the modern era? Because I know he worked really hard at his craft. He said he was never naturally that gifted, despite winning back-to-back Ballon d'Ors and all the stuff he won on a team level. What kind of a player was he, Mark?
Well, there you go. That's the first thing. I mean, you said it yourself. He worked his gonads off. Absolutely did. And he wasn't a gifted footballer, but he made himself into a sensational footballer. Never, ever, ever stopped. And a good team player as well. But it was horrible to play against, certainly, because he never, ever stopped running. He never stopped moving. And he was actually quite a small guy, but he was strong. He was very, very, very strong. So there's a story about him which is 99% certain. I was playing for Liverpool. It was a Friday night FA Cup. First time ever the FA Cup had been played on a Friday night. We were playing Newcastle and Kevin was playing. And so there's Waddle and all sorts of players playing for Newcastle. And we were playing a game and I think we were four up. We'd taken them apart, basically. And he was getting frustrated and all those kind of things. Anyway, so I'm playing like one of the centre-backs with Hansen, and the ball gets played between the two of us. So I've turned to go and get it. And then the next thing, Kevin was probably 3 or 4 yards in front of me. Well, obviously being a lot younger, I caught up with him and then like went further than him and give the ball back to Bruce Grobbelaar. So Kevin went into when the game finished and everything, he went into the visitor's room, and Arthur Cox was the manager, right? Kevin came in, took his boots off and threw them at the wall. And Arthur Cox says, "What are you doing that for?" He said, "I'm done." And Arthur said, "What do you mean you're done?" He said, "Listen," he said, "I gave him 5 yard start, right?" And he was like, he said, he went past me. He said, "I'm absolutely done, Arthur." And the other thing about that was, when I was a kid at Preston and when I was 16, Arthur Cox was my coach. So one of those strange, strange things. He used to tell the story to everyone. So I'm pretty sure he said it was 5 yard start, but I said it was 15, and someone said to me, "What if it, what if it'd been the other way around?" I said, "I'd have resigned."
Like, you look at him actually back then, Mark, as well. It's like his conditioning was fabulous. Like, I mean, the guy, like, there was, it didn't look like there was an ounce of fat on him. It was all muscles galore.
It wasn't, and I think, you know, playing against him, he would bounce off you, most certainly. And, you know, he had big cojones, didn't he? Because he told Liverpool he had a year left on his contract, and he said, "I want to go and play abroad." And, of course, everyone's going, "Hold on a minute, you're playing for one of the best teams in Europe. You're winning all this, all kind of stuff." He said, "No, I want to go and try myself abroad." And, of course, he did do with Hamburg, didn't he? I think he was twice European Player of the Year, if my memory serves me right, in a row as well.
So he just wins the European Cup and leaves Liverpool. So you actually don't play together at Liverpool. You miss each other by about 4 years, I think. So he leaves in 77 and you join in 1981. But you did join up later in life, because he hired you at Newcastle, didn't he, as a defensive coach and the great entertainers.
Listen, can I tell you this, right? He offered me this job, right? And I said, "Well, I'll think about it." And he said, "Well, how much money do you want?" And I said, "Well, I haven't really thought about it, because you just sprung it on me." And it was, what had happened was I was working for Sky, and I went and did an interview with Macca, and went to obviously to Newcastle, came back to, and we did, they put the interview out and everything like that. And this was a Friday then. What's his name? Well, I played with Liverpool, Terry McDermott, right? Terry McDermott rang me. I'm in the office and the stuff. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm talking to you. What do you mean, what am I doing?" He said, "Well," he said, "Kevin wants to speak to you." And I said, "What about?" I said, "He just wants to speak to you." He said, "We've got a game on Sunday." He said, "So we'll get your ticket and we'll get you picked up and all those kind of things and one thing and another." Anyway, so I go. On that day, it was a day that they won 5-0 against Man United.
Philippe Albert.
And so I'm in the office afterwards with other people and stuff, and Kevin said, "Come in here a minute." We're in the closet almost having this thing. And he said, why don't you come and coach?" And I said, "Bloody hell." I said, "You just like beat Man United 5-0. You don't need me." He said, "No, because I want to make a defensive coach." He said, "I don't think anyone's ever had one. And why don't you come and do it?" So I did. And in all the time I was there, right, I only did two sessions. And the two sessions were the two sessions after we had resigned. And all I was doing, and I mean, obviously, I obviously packed in because of my Achilles and couldn't particularly run very fast anymore and stuff like that. I was playing in the first team when they were one short, as in, you know, in training and everything. And it was, I had 18 months, I was fit as I'd ever been. And then walking one day and he'd gone, which was obviously very, very strange. I ended up doing two things, I think, and then I left and went to Match of the Day and stuff like that. But that's the way that he was, and he just walked out. They didn't. I think that the football club were going to be one of the big banks was getting involved and all those kind of things, and they never offered Kevin any shares.
Right.
And he just sort of went, "You know what? You can stick it where the sun doesn't shine." And he walked away, and that was it.
Yeah, I he's a man of principle, Mark, because they signed Alan Shearer the summer of 1996 at the big homecoming, £15 million, which is an enormous amount of money 30 years ago. And then you joined the ranks a few months later, right, as defensive coach. And like you said, there's no such thing really at that point as a defensive coach, even though you don't do that much defending training. I wanted to ask you about that because I had read about it. I wasn't sure if it was true. And then you started coaching when Kevin Keegan leaves. But the man of principle is he just left the same way he walked away from England, because he felt he couldn't do it anymore. You know, the guy will move on if he wants to.
Yeah, but this was more a case they never offered him any shares. Yeah. And then I think somebody must have said to him, "Look, you're going mad here. Like, just offer him some shares." And they went back to him and he went, "No." And he just said, "You should have offered me shares right at the start." He said, we're going great. We've got a chance of winning the league, all that kind of thing." And he just took his boots with him and off he went.
Mark, he was clearly someone who was a modern thinker in terms of the star quality that he had as a footballer and the value that he had. And you see that even the Newcastle, as he went on to be a manager, he knew his value and knew his worth. In terms of knowing football, how much of a football brain was he as a manager? Because, I mean, there is the elephant in the room is that it is almost a collapse from Newcastle throughout the end of the season. And, and his managerial career is pretty decent, but they played phenomenal football. But how much of a football obsessive was he? Because there is an interview, we played it earlier, where he was speaking to Brian Moore back when he was playing for Hamburg. And he says that he doesn't want to spend too much time in football. And then he goes on to spend his entire life in football. So, like, was he a football obsessive? Or
No. Absolutely, it wasn't. And Derek Fazakerley was one of the probably the major coach. He was the one who did everything basically. And Kevin would come in and say to Faz, right, everybody know what they're doing, you know, in terms of the game, etc. And they go, yeah, get on with it. Then that's the way that that's just the way that he was. And but he was just, and obviously he was such a nice fellow. I mean, we'd go to different places and everything, and they'd just be, they'd look at us a lot and go, who the bloody hell are them? We want to see Kevin Keegan.
Yeah.
But yeah, you do these things, but he's seriously top bloke. Even the way he's, you know, he managed obviously when he died yesterday, but that was all. Very, very well organised, and he just wanted to keep it as much as possible to just a family.
Yeah, geez, we were wondering the same thing, Mark, when we were discussing asking you to come on the show. It was like didn't know how much this would actually hit you because he meant so much to so many people.
Yeah, it was just a proper bloke.
Yeah,
just an absolute proper bloke. Loved to laugh. Him and McDermott were mad together. Used to take the mickey out of everybody. And stuff, and Terry McDermott has still got a bit of a lisp. And Kevin used to absolutely slaughter him and the players and stuff. And you know, when you went into a building and it was just, oh, what a good place this is, you know, to go and work. Obviously, we're playing football, which makes it even better, but it was a great place to go in, you know, and people would come in and just completely take the piss, excuse me, out of everybody. And it was like, you know, you couldn't wait to come back the next day.
Yeah. We have a regular of the show here, Mark, called Paul Moore, and Paul's brother, Carl, was signed by Manchester City when Kevin Keegan was manager, and he said he was a lovely, lovely man. And Carl was just this kid, one of many kids. And the story is, you know, that Kevin Keegan had time for everyone, Mark, like despite all he achieved, both as a player and a manager, because he was a pretty damn good manager in terms of what he achieved at various different places. And so he could have had an enormous ego considering what he achieved. And I'm sure there was an element of self-confidence and belief, of course, that went beyond the norm. But at the same time, he was incredibly relatable and down to earth.
Oh, yeah, seriously. You know, people would... I can't remember where we were one day. We were going to... I think we were just going driving to training and stuff like that. And we stopped. There was loads of traffic and stuff like that. And this guy was just kind of there. And this guy suddenly is looking into the car and he's thinking, oh, my God, it's Kevin Keegan. Right, and Kevin always acknowledges it. We're not moving in terms of the car, so Kevin like pressed the electric thing down to talk to the fella. He said, "Hey, where are you going?" And I can't remember where he said. Just one of the local places. He said, "I'll give you a lift." So me and McDermott had to like get up a little bit, shove our arses up, and this fella was sat there in the back, and of course he was asking all these questions. And he got out, Kevin shook his hand and all that kind of thinking. And Kevin sort of went, bloody hell, he could talk, couldn't he? It was like one of them. Fantastic.
I don't know why, Mark, I find myself feeling sad too. And obviously I'm just watching from afar, and I would have been a kid when he was managing Newcastle, but I remember it well. And it's kind of, you know, himself and Terry Venables not too recently as well passed away.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, like, look, it's a big question to ask and a bigger one to answer about someone's legacy, especially when they've just passed away. But I wonder what comes to mind when I ask you that type of question in relation to Kevin Keegan.
Well, I would say the first thing which I said a little bit before is he made himself into an absolutely fabulous footballer. Sheer hard work, absolutely was. And when he thought, you know, he'd done it, he'd have to do extra. And he was a team player. yeah, he loved scoring goals, etc. But he was a team player. But you looked at him, you're in the dressing room and you're waiting to go out and play. And you look at him, you think, we're going to be all right today because the top man's playing.
It's a hell of a compliment. But look, before we leave you go this morning, what do you make of the World Cup?
It bored me a lot of the time.
Really?
But I love the minnows and all that kind of thing. But some of the games, honestly, they spend so much time going backwards and sideways and all that kind of thing. I think the best team won it, which was the only one of the bigger things and that. But I'm obviously delighted that England didn't go any further because this place, obviously I live in England, place was going nuts. They thought they were going to win absolutely everything, Tour de France and the whole shebang. But thank God they didn't.
Is football actually, like, overall, do you think it's in a unhealthy place in terms of how the game is played? I'm not talking about like Infantino and all that now. I'm just talking about the way the game is played.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit worried. I mean, the thing with the money is absolutely fantastic for them, but where does it all stop? And I think as well is that you're now in a position where, you know, if the manager doesn't like being say something, you can tell him what to go and do, can't you?
Yeah.
And, you know, money is no object. Or I'll fine you for two weeks' wages, et cetera. It makes no difference. I mean, there's obviously probably four or five teams in the Premier League, very, very good sides. The rest of them, to be honest with you, can be quite ordinary, really seriously can.
Do you think football, generally speaking, is always kind of more entertaining in that time we're talking about when you're at Newcastle with Kevin Keegan in the mid-1990s, that time?
Yeah, more fun. Yeah. More fun, most definitely. Even, I mean, the wages had come in by then and stuff like that, but nothing like the way that they are now. Mm. Yeah, it's, and the diving's still there, which drives you absolutely mad, doesn't it? I mean, it drives everybody else mad as well. So, but it is what it is. And I mean, it's global. So, you know, what do you do? It's global, but the money, you'd love to now, obviously, be able to play because the money is just sensational.
Do you have anything positive to say about VAR?
No. Next question. Well, listen, the thing about VAR, it was supposed to make it easier.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's made it worse. But of course, they won't change because that's like admitting that they made a mistake.
That's true.
All this waiting 3, 4, 5 minutes to see if the ball went over the line or whatever it was, it's ridiculous. And they're saying, oh, yeah, and it adds to the excitement. Does it, heck, add to the excitement at all? Just really doesn't. But it's here to stay, I'm afraid.
I think a lot of people...
Well, that's the other thing. Sorry, you know, with all the games in the World Cup when they were going through all the teams and everything, and today's VAR is such and such and such a body. It was like, what? He should be seen but not heard.
I suspect a lot of people listening this morning and listening back will be in full agreement with you there about the state of modern football. Look, Mark, thanks a million for coming on and starting Ornis as well. It was a great tribute to Kevin Keegan. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Speak
soon. Pleasure, boys.
Cheers.
Bye. Great Mark Lawrence in there in conversation about Kevin Keegan who passed away yesterday.
Football on off the ball.
If you took the rules today and applied them to the Leeds Liverpool games, we'd have finished. Well, Johnny wouldn't have been on the pitch. Billy wouldn't have been on the pitch.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.